What up, guys? It's BKS here, and with me, we have a special guest, former NXT WWE superstar, formerly known as Damon Kemp. We have Bobby Stevenson. How are you today, sir?
Doing great, man. Excited to be here. How you doing?
I am well. I am well. Well, as of August 13th, which is today, you are now a complete free agent now, right? You can do all your bookings. How was
Yeah.
that time being, still under contract within that 30 days?
Kind of in the cloud, I guess. I
Yeah.
don't know. It's just one of those things you don't really expect to happen to you, especially how like things are kind of going. But it happens all the time. It's part of the business. But I don't know, just think just how things are shaping up. We have a lot of fun. It was finally getting the ball rolling with the No Quarter Catch crew, which is like really exciting too. But I guess everything happens for a reason, and now where one door closes, the other one opens.
Absolutely. I feel like, as a fan, I feel like it's COVID again for the wrestlers. Like you can't do
Yeah.
anything, you just gotta sit and just watch and wait.
Yeah. That was tough, like sitting for 30 days. It was rough. It was like, all right, I got all these plans in mind. I got all this stuff that's gonna happen, but it's just like you just gotta wait for the time to run out, which kind of sucks. But you still get compensated for your time,
That's
which is
it.
nice. But it's a rough 30 days, I'll say that.
I can't blame you. I remember I tore my ACL and not to be able to move at all was just painful. Like, you can't get up, can't do stuff. So, just for you, because
Yeah.
I sort of love the wrestling aspect to not just do that, it's like it's painful. I get it.
Yeah, no, it sucks. Thankfully, I never had anything bad like that happen,
Yeah.
so it's good.
So, let's get on with the questions. You were signed by WWE. What was your reaction when you were told? Did you get a call? Was it an email? When you got signed by WWE, do you remember that day and how you were feeling?
Oh, yeah, funny story with that. So it was like during, I graduated in 2020, and COVID messed that time up badly. So I was already in contact. So my main contact, great guy, I owe him everything, was Paul Heyman. He was the one kind of getting the ball rolling for me, and my brother at the time. Because everything was shut down, so there was really no point of contact. I think like the PC was closed and stuff like that. So there wasn't anyone to talk to. So like during COVID time, I went to school for criminal justice, and originally I wanted to do Secret Service, and because I thought it was like so cool to be able to guard the president and like be in a suit and be all like undercover and discreet, like a little like a James Bond almost. And so I was working at a prison for 7 months during COVID, and so it's like finally fast forward, COVID slowed down a little bit, stuff started to open, and we got in contact with Triple H. And it's a funny story, we were talking to Triple H. I worked a double that day. And so I got like a 15-minute break in between. So we're not allowed to bring phones into the prison when I worked there. So I had to go out in the parking lot. And of course, Triple H scheduled a meeting like during my break. And it's like one of those things like you're not gonna tell Triple H, hey, can we reschedule? Because I've been waiting for this for 7 months because I was just working in the prison like past time and stuff like that. And then I was like, crap, all right, we got to do it. I was on break, and we don't like as officers in the prison, we weren't allowed to carry guns or anything. So our only thing was we had like a little can of mace and our walkie-talkie to like communicate with one another. So I was in the parking lot, and I was like, of course this happened. I think the Zoom link he sent me wasn't working. And then his assistant kept sending me the link, but it wasn't working. Like I can hear him, but I couldn't see him because like it was supposed to be how we got the setup. And I was like, of course that pushed, like I said, my break was like 15 minutes. So it took like 20 minutes to finally get on the Zoom call with him, which is like I was already 5 minutes over my break. And I told myself, I was like, I am not like telling Triple H I gotta go back into work. Like this is like I'm sitting here, I'll get fired here right on the spot if I got to talk to Triple H because I'm waiting 7 months for this. And it was funny because they were like buzzing me in to come talk to come into the prison to do our rounds and for the inmates and stuff like that. And I kept turning the microphone down, and Triple H was talking. And I was like, all right, I can't not missing it, not missing it. Triple H on the phone, and then like Officer Stevenson, you need to get back to the unit now. And I was like, crap. And then, and And I was like, by the time me and him, all of us were having like a great conversation. So it's like we already heard what we needed to hear. So we were just like pretty much just chopping it up, having a great talk. And I was like, hey, because I just called him Paul. I was like, hey, Paul, I'm so sorry, but I got to go back into work, man. They're blowing me up. And he was like, all good, man, all good, man. And I was like, I booked it back in there. And that was like strike one for me. I got a strike that day. That's a funny story when it came to getting signed.
Where when you were in NXT, did you refer him to him as Paul? Do you call him Triple H?
I just called him Paul because that's
Paul?
how he, like, I
Even when you
knew.
were in NXT, like you just referred to him as Paul as well?
Yeah, I said Paul.
Oh, okay.
It was just like how we first met, too. We met backstage at Raw in like 2019. And he just introduced him as Paul. I knew who he was. I knew people called him Hunter and stuff like that, Triple N H. But I was like, I just call him Paul. And so, yeah, I always referred to him as Paul.
I know like some superstars like Punk is like I only knew him as Triple A, so like calling him Paul is always so weird to him. So I wanted to know how you refer to him, but that's great. Were you were saying that you were working as a prison guard. Were you always a fan of WWE? Did you grow up watching like the Attitude Era or the Ruthless Aggression, or was it something you're just like, you know what, I do amateur wrestling, might as well do this as well and see how it turns out?
So I never watched it religiously, like when I was younger. Like I knew all who all like the big names were and stuff like that, but I never knew like the storylines and all the details. And hey, so and so came in WrestleMania 21 and did this, 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 this. I was like, I never knew that, but I knew who the stars were, and like if it was on, I'd watch it. But it was never really. I was always still caught up in like the amateur wrestling, the real wrestling, and stuff
Gotcha,
like that.
yeah.
But it was never, oh, I need to be home and watch Raw or SmackDown. I knew who everyone was, but like this past 3 years when I was with NXT, obviously I watched every show. Like even when I made it a priority to watch every show because I work for the place, so I got to know what's going on. I got to know everyone's moveset, and I like to know how everyone moves and everyone's stuff. Because like when you play matches with them, you just got to know that you got to know everyone's stuff. So I made that a priority. But yeah, I never. I'm
Oh,
sorry,
go
go
ahead.
ahead.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I never watched it religiously growing up.
I remember my brother watched it. He's like a 10 years older than me, so he watched WCW. So I watched WWE around Ruthless Aggression, and my mom would always say, "Oh, you're watching naked girls fight, and you're 7 years old." And I'm like, "Mom, it's not that." And then I'm like, "There's guys wrestling too." And then the next night, I'm watching ECW, and they have the strippers dancing. My mom walks in, she's like, "What were you saying?" I'm like, "Mom, this is the one show that
Yeah,
doesn't."
of course. Of course, mom always comes in at the wrong time.
Yeah,
She's like, this isn't what
exactly.
it is. And they're like making out and stuff.
You talked about NXT. You were in NXT 2.0, 205, and NXT UK. Can you talk about those three experiences? Were they different? Were they basically the same?
Was just different. So 205, I knew a little bit about it before. I guess it was like all the cruiser rates and stuff, cruiser weights and stuff like that. And so I never really watched it religiously, like I mentioned before, but I kind of had like a gist of it. I guess it was like everyone that was under 205 pounds and stuff like that. So when I debuted it, I wrestled Andre Chase. That was my first match. And I was only 2 months in when I had my first match. I didn't have any pro wrestling background before I signed with WWE. So that was my first match. And then it was like funny, people on Twitter were like, because like I'm a big dude, I'm 250. And then like, oh, we got, it's like, it's NXT 250, NXT 245. And I was like, what are these people talking about? And then everyone told me, like, oh, yeah, 205 Live was made for cruiserweights. Like, you're the bigger guys, biggest guy that's on the show right now. And I was like, oh, makes sense. And then they changed it to Level Up.
Would that
But
that that sorry, go ahead. I apologize.
it's just the same thing. It was just a different name. It was just like the, like, you know what it is. We just like people go out before live TV and then just get reps on TV and stuff like that. But it was just a different name.
Did it bug you though when people were saying, oh, like pretty calling you like, oh, 240, he's on 205 Live? Were you like, fuck you guys, I'm doing my job, I'm getting paid.
No, that stuff, the chirping from the fans and stuff like that doesn't hurt my feelings.
Yes.
Like I said, I worked in the prison. I've been called the worst things, and like I got thick skin. You can't hurt me.
Yeah, no, I get that.
But the UK, sorry,
No, go ahead, go ahead. No,
you
no.
mentioned the UK.
Yeah, UK. Because you're UK is for all the Europeans, and you kind of spit out like a sore thumb. Like,
Yeah.
how was that? Explain.
Man, yo, dude, I was like 7 months into pro wrestling. So I was like still learning everything. I'm like, dude, I'm still new. And then so I got the call to go to the UK. And I was like kind of familiar with it. Because like, I think it just it aired at weird times over here. It was only on Peacock is when it aired. And so I'll just catch the highlights and stuff like that. So I knew some of the people that were over there. So they had to go over there. I was there for, it was like 2, a week and a half. A week and a half. And I didn't know how they did anything over there. But I loved their style. I loved all the people's like the Pete Dunne, the Tyler Bates, and like Noam Dar. I loved all their style. And like even like Johnny Saint. I got to work with Johnny Saint a little bit. So fast forward, I didn't know it was a taped show. So like with it being a taped show, you had to wrestle multiple matches in a day. And keep in mind, I was only 7 months in, so I was still trying to figure out what I was doing the first match. So it's funny, the first day I only had one match, and then the next day I had to do two matches where I tagged with Wolfgang. And first match I wrestled Shaw Samuels, and then the next match, the second day, I was all the same day, Shaw Samuels, and then I tagged with Wolfgang against Shaw and Noam Dar. So I was like, all right, I got my first match done the first day. Next day, I had to do two. And I was like, all right, first match done. And then those guys are great. They've been doing it for so long. And I was like, the new dude. So I was like, hey, guys, I'm doing two matches a day. Like, what are we doing here? Like, help me out. And then they were great. They really guided me along and stuff like that, helped me out. And just remembering everything. Like, 7 months in, you got to remember two matches. And it was great. So I did that match and came back immediately, met with Wolf, had a change. And then it added to the stress because I think like a match before us, someone got hurt. So then I had to like get the match down even like faster because I think we had like 13 minutes for the tag match, which was it was great. But that was definitely adjustment too, just like having to be up like being thrown in the deep end and having to be a professional like ASAP. Like, yo, you got to know your stuff. Like, you gotta be able to plug in when it's time to plug in. Like, there's no time to be like, taking a back seat because like we're up in a few matches. And granted, we talked about the match like a day before. Like, those guys are great. They don't need to talk about it like all week and stuff. But yeah, we did that and it was great. It was fun. I really liked the style. The only thing that was tough about being there, which is funny, we had to walk everywhere, and I hate walking. So we had to walk everywhere, and I swear I ate Chipotle like every day because like, I'm not because we all went to this market and they had like just like, a bunch of fast food and like we ate at like a Chinese restaurant which was great, but I was like, all right, I'm not really trying to branch out right now and try new foods and mess my stomach up. So I literally ate Chipotle every day and we had to walk. And I was like, oh, I hate walking. So I just like double up on the Chipotle and walk back. And it was
Oh, you
weird
would.
too because sorry,
No,
go
I was gonna
ahead.
say, yeah, you would hate New York City then, because yeah, that's where you have a lot
Oh,
anywhere.
I won't do it. And it was crazy too because I didn't know in the UK they don't do AC. They don't have air conditioning.
Really?
Yeah, they don't have air conditioning over there. And it's funny because the time we were there, it was like they were having like a heat wave, which was like,
Oof.
I don't know, it was like 85 degrees, but it was hot.
Yeah.
And then I went down to the receptionist. I was like, yo, my room doesn't have AC because I was looking for the butt on the wall. It was just hot and stuffy. They said, oh yeah, we don't do AC in the UK. And I was like, bro, I did not travel all the way over here to be sweating my butt off at night. But thankfully, she found a room with AC because I guess like a few rooms had AC, and I thankfully I got there before everyone else did. And I had some AC in my room, so I was like thankful.
I remember when I went to Saudi Arabia with my brother and sister when we were kids, and I was probably 16 at the time. We go inside, they had the AC blasting. And the moment you walk outside, because it's like 90 degrees, 100 degrees, that you just feel the heat wave. So I can
Oh
only imagine
yeah.
if you're over in Europe and there's no AC, like I would just take a flight back home. I'm like, nope, sorry,
Oh
can't do
dude. It was so hot and stuffy in the room, but I would say so like the hotel, it was like right on a pier, like a boating dock. So it was
okay.
like a cool view, and but they had like the fish market. It was like right across like the port, whatever. So it was a cool view to like see something new, and it was like crazy to see like because all right, so I got another funny one. So it was me, and a few other wrestlers, like female wrestlers. We were trying to find an Uber from the airport. We didn't know where to get the Uber at because it was like weird. We're just like trying to figure it out on our phone. Like everything's different. And then we were like, all right, we all have our luggage. And then we were like, all right, cool. We're gonna get an Uber XL. We're all gonna fit. So we're like used to the Uber XL in America being a SUV. So over there, their cars are way smaller. We order an Uber XL and we get there, and this thing is like a little, like a Kia Soul, something that's smaller than that. And then we get there, we're like, we're all not gonna fit in here. So we got to take separate rides. And our luggage barely fit. Our luggage barely fit. We were like smashed in the car. And on top of it, the roads are so small. So like everywhere we went, we were just about like literally what's it called? What's the damn things on the car? Our rear view
Oh,
mirrors.
really? I was gonna say doors?
Our mirrors are damn near hitting other cars. And I was like, bro, are you a
Oh.
good driver? Yeah, it was that tight. I was like, bro, are you a good driver? Because we're getting close. And he's like, no, man, we got it. And the streets are so small and tight and stuff like that. But it was really cool to see like the UK. We got to see the castle and all that other cool stuff. It was awesome. It was a great experience.
I can imagine, over there it's a great view. So, like, I would love to go back there and just walk around. Because I don't mind walking. I'm like you. I just like a nice breeze and able to walk. On a
They
nice fall
didn't
weather,
have,
not a summer weather when everything is
yeah,
open.
they didn't have scooters either. So if they would have had scooters, it would be a little different.
All right, going to the next question. You Diamond Mine was a group in NXT, and then it went to different types of members. What was the original plan for you to join Diamond Mine? Because you kind of joined, you didn't join right away. You kind of joined when they went to NXT 2.0. What was the original pitch for you to join? Because you turned on, was it Julius Creed? Was it? Yeah. So what was the original plan for that? And you felt like you could have done more with the group before turning heel
So
on it.
we all fit perfectly. I was still kind of new. They were there for like 7 months longer than me, so they had a little bit more experience. So we all had the same background, so we all kind of fit together and stuff like that. And so it was great working with them, just because we all kind of did this, not the same thing, but like we all
Or
just
like
had
amateur
similar,
wrestlers too as well. Tap
yeah, we were
yeah.
all amateur wrestlers. So like me being having me in a group, we just fit perfectly. And so it was more so just like timing and stuff like that. So they did the thing where it was like weeks before they were doing something with the brothers where like they were like getting so close to like winning the championship. They were getting so close, and Roderick Strong was always getting mad at them. Hey, you're not winning. We need someone in here to push you guys to do this. And then that was like a perfect time for me to come on. Then like a few weeks later, they won the tag titles. So it was great. It was great.
Do you still, Roger Strong left the company a couple of months back. Do you still keep in contact with him? Do you feel like a mentor? He's like a mentor to you, or more like.
No. Well, we don't keep in touch. I occasionally catch his stuff and stuff like that. I think it was more so just like I was still new, so I was like I didn't really, how do you say it? I was still new, picking my coach's brains, like in the aspect of trying to get better in the ring, that I was just focused on that. But now that I look back at it, I wish I would like pick his brain a little more. But like I said, I wasn't watching NXT or anything like that grow like coming up, or even when he was with Undisputed Era and stuff like that. Like I found that out once I like got there, like how great they were and their great run they did. So I wish I would have known a little bit more like leading up to that, so I can just pick his brain a little more and how good he was in the ring. But it was great. It was great working with everyone.
And then what's your relationships with the Creed brothers? Like you said, they were 7 months prior to you, but you guys both have that amateur wrestling. Did you guys bond over that? Do you guys still keep in touch with them since they got called up to the main roster?
So I know them both just from wrestling. So we just they went to he went the older one went to Duke, and the other one forgot where he went, but we wrestled in college. I wrestled Brutus in college, and so we already had that connection of just like knowing each other in a competitive way. That it was kind of cool to like, it's always kind of cool when you get to wrestle someone when another is trying to like rip each other's heads off. But then when you get to work with each other in a different scenery, you get to see how like cool like the other person is like, oh cool, he's a good person, he's not trying to kill me this time, or we're not trying to kill each other and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool to like break that barrier and kind of like get to know someone behind, you know, other than trying to kill each other.
And then the next group that you joined was the No Quarter Patch Crew. What was the pitch? Was that, was it like, oh, you know, Damon Kep is just not doing anything on NXT, let's just put him in this group and see how he does, or what was the idea with that?
No, it wasn't that. It's more so just timing and stuff like that. Because after me and the Creed brother Julius, we did the pay-per-view match, and that was just like kind of like the blow-off match, you know.
It was
So
an
like that was
ambulance
like
match, right?
it was an ambulance match. But one thing I do wish that we were able to do, which it, like it elevated both of us tremendously when we were doing that. I just wish that more baby. I had more like of a baby face run with Diamond Mine, you know, because like me and Roderick were tagging, we're doing great reactions from the crowd and stuff like that. But I wish it was like more like I got more of like a individual push to like display, you know, the stuff I can do as a baby face. And then when doing when I turned on at Worlds Collide, it was the place was loud, like internet was broken, the place was rocking. So I just imagine if I was able to get like a baby face push to be a little bit more. No, whatever, baby face. So then when the time came for me to do the chair shot at Worlds Collide, the place would have erupted even more. But it all worked out. It elevated both of us. But then that time, it's just like you're so hot. Then they were bringing in like new people. So it was like more so new people were coming in facing like the big heel at the time, which was me. And then just had to wrestle them and make each other in a way to like, you know, we got to elevate, everyone has to elevate one another. So, just doing stuff like that, and then the opportunity finally came when Gulak, he came back down, and he was putting like a group of the catch group of like wrestlers, amateur wrestlers. Miles was an amateur wrestler, and so we all had similar backgrounds in that aspect too. So which was fun also, but it was more so as it went on. I know I, because I was already doing like the serious thing with the Creeds, like we were all like badasses and like attacking people. Ask questions later. So it was more so like a time with like being a heel. It's like, all right, they know I can be badass. It's like, all right, can we? It was more so like trying to get the ideas of like, all right, let's, I can be funny. You know, I can get my ass whooped. I can be comical and stuff like that. So like towards the end with the catch crew, we were finally starting to get into stuff like that. And it was going great. I think everyone was really happy with that. But, yeah, it was great. It was just more so just a timing thing with all that stuff, you know.
I remember the one segment I remember was when you guys were in the gym. I think it was like one of the last promo like backstage sketch you guys did. You guys were talking and then one and the other would keep popping up in the gym mirror. And I forget which one it was. And I was cracking up because it's like you guys are literally just talking in front of the gym mirror. And I forget
Oh
which
yeah.
one it was. So we would just pop their head like into the
Yeah,
scene.
that was. Yeah, that was me. So we were just doing more funny stuff because like when we were working with the Italians, so they had like a great thing going. So it was kind of funny to like with for us, one of the members started to go like little like mentally insane because like Heritage Cup was his baby. UK, I love this, I love the style, I represent the heritage. So it's like more so him going mentally insane, and then us were like, because his thing was like he was always like serious too, like a wrestler. So it was like with us, we were just trying to be like funny and like, all right, why is this guy doing? It's like he's kinda going insane. Like this isn't the guy that we normally work with. And so we were just getting opportunities to like finally show that we're funny and we can be like goofy too.
Was there any times where it was like improv, or was it like you guys gotta do what we're telling you to do to be funny?
So like they gave us a script, but we would just add in our own funny things. So like I don't know if you could watch back, like me and Miles, you know, sketch, you know, special team, special play, and stuff like that. So like we stuck a few of those things in there. So like when I would like pop in on screen, I'd be like, I'm here, like what's up, brother, and stuff like that. So we would sneak stuff like that in, and then they enjoyed it. It was just adding a new layer to both of us while trying to be serious. Like, oh yeah, special team, special play, you know. So it was fun.
Was there any chance of you guys winning the NXT tag titles as part of New Quarter Crash Crew? Was there like a you'd be like, hey, if you guys keep doing this, you and whoever can win the tag titles? Was there no? Was it just focusing on the Heritage Cup?
Yeah, the focus was on the Heritage Cup. And
Got it.
then so we lost it, and then they were just doing a bunch of stuff. We were kind of, it was the opportunity for us to show us our side
Yeah.
of being other than
Serious.
badasses and serious, like being more funny. It was an opportunity for us to do that, and then eventually just circle back to it, you know.
Speaking of titles, do you wish you got a chance to hold any titles in NXT? Because I know a lot of people, they say that you can even have a memorable career and not win any titles, or just have some superstars like, well, I'm here to win titles. Do you wish you got a chance to win any titles, or are you satisfied just how your career was in NXT?
I think everyone wants to win a title. So how we did the Heritage Cup, we were all technically champions.
Okay.
And so how we did it was, we had a thing called the catch clause, where we would just do like the other person we were going against, they didn't know who they were facing. So like every
Okay.
time we would come up, we would line up, and then when the music stops, we would take a step back, and whoever's wrestling stays forward. We would kind of like trick them.
Yeah.
And then so that was like our thing. So I was already a Heritage Cup champion. But and I we wrestled I wrestled for the tag titles against the Creeds at Great American Bash. And no, I wish I would have been able to hold some gold. Like I think everyone wants to. I think everyone wants to be at the top, you know, and be, you know.
Would you rather hold gold or be undefeated? Because I feel like if you win a title, yeah, but then down the line people might forget. Well, if you're undefeated, be like, this guy never lost. He never got beat. And I feel like
I know,
that's
but then when you do get beat, then it's like, all right, where do we go from there?
true.
So I'd rather take the bumpy road to get the gold, get the sympathy or something or stuff like that, win the gold versus win all your matches,
Yeah.
and then you lose, and it's like, all right, he's already been undefeated. What else we got? You know?
Yeah. You talked about how like you never watched WWE before, but if they call you back, would you accept it in a heartbeat, or would you be like, I'm gonna try doing some other stuff first?
No, I accept.
You'll accept right
No,
away?
there's no hard feelings towards WWE. I loved it. It was great job for me. It was an opportunity to like open up and to show different side of me that people aren't used to seeing and stuff like that. It was great. So if they called me back, and I'd go. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
There's no hard feelings there. I get it.
yeah, no, you call yourself, like you didn't have like any actually like training before going to WWE, you just have amateur wrestling. But you look at Kurt Angle, he didn't know anything about WWE before. He was all amateur wrestling, and it kind of it threw him like how they said that you kind of got thrown to the wolves a little bit. So I feel like you guys have that similarity, and I feel like if you were there a little bit longer, you would have been the next Kurt Angle or even the first Damon Kemp.
Yeah, so like having an amateur background helps a lot.
Yeah.
It helps a lot, like knowing your body, knowing how to take care of someone else, and you know, just move someone else's body without hurting them. You know, that's like the great thing. We always know how to fall to. But the hard thing coming from amateur to like pro wrestling is just like opening up,
Yeah.
like being able to smile, like show a little charisma and stuff like that. Because like in amateur wrestling, we're always taught to be like straight face, no emotion, like we want to kill the other guy and stuff like that. And coming to pro wrestling, it's you gotta put on a show, you gotta let the fans know that you're hurt, and so like putting yourself out there and not being afraid to look dumb or just like, you know, do something, yell and there's silence, you know, stuff like that. Just being learning to be open and putting yourself out there for the fans to connect to you. Because if you're just like Stone Cold face killer out there, there's nothing for the fans to really feel.
I agree. I agree. So this one thing I wanted to talk about, and once I saw it on your Instagram, I was like, I gotta ask, what's up with the cooking reels on your Instagram story? Because I don't know if it was meant to be funny, but I was cracking up.
Yeah, no, it's meant to be funny. I got to get back on it. It's mainly just be funny. I was kind of bored too, but I always enjoyed cooking. Like I make the best wings, I make the best steaks, you know. So I'm pretty good at making any kind of meat and seasoning it and the stuff like that. So I was doing it just for fun, but like the point of the videos were to like not be over the top, but also kind of like sneak a few little funny things in there, you know, just to like catch the audience off guard and keep them in tune with it. But no, it's a fun little side thing I enjoy doing.
What was it like somebody recommended it, or you were like sitting on one day and be like, I got an idea? Let me see how it
And then
turned out.
I just be scrolling through TikTok and seeing everyone doing it. I was like, I can try it. I'll do it, you know. And then yeah, it's just fun stuff. If something comes out of it, you know, I'm cooking for Gordon Ramsay or something like that.
Going back to the NXT, who do you wish you could have worked with NXT? Because we have a couple of superstars from the main rosters. They have also came down to do like one-on-one matches for a short time. Is there anybody on the NXT roster you wish you could have challenged that you haven't faced?
I'd say obviously one of the rest of the guys with the titles, but I enjoyed working with Axiom
Axiom.
and Axiom and Nathan Frazer. I got to wrestle those guys a few times on house shows, and I didn't get to wrestle in the match, the tag title match. I'd like to do that because they both move really well, and they're both from the UK, so they kind of get the grappling and like grabbing someone that's moving them around and stuff like that. They flow really good with like my type of style. So I'd say those two. I'd say those two.
Like I see that, and I see like them and you guys, and then I look, I'm like, and I find out you guys, oh, roughly like my age or a year or two older than me. And I'm like, God damn, these guys are genetic freaks. They're like, they're just 2 years older, 2 years younger than me. I'm 28 now, and I'm like, God damn it, like these guys are like, it's like if they can do it, maybe if I get my ass up more and do it.
Nah, yeah, no, that was fun. It was fun working with those guys. But like everyone else, I wrestled pretty much all the top guys on the roster, whether it was like on TV or in the house shows. So yeah, it's no, it was great working with all of them. But I'd say Axiom and Nathan.
What was your favorite match and least favorite match?
Favorite match, I'd say, was wrestling Shelton Benjamin. Because he's also from the University of Minnesota. And growing up, I knew about him. And it was also kind of cool that I went to University of Minnesota also. So then hearing that he went to the same school, and then now he's also in the same company. So I thought it was pretty cool to like wrestle him, especially on like the main event. We wrestled in, I think that was in Oklahoma. And that was also like my biggest crowd I wrestled in front of. It was like 15,000 people. So like you get a new guy who's only been doing it for like a year and some change, and you get put up against a guy like Shelton that you look up to and stuff like that, and put on the biggest stage. Like I was like, it was just cool. It was like kind of like waving a stake in my face, you know, like this is what it looks like over here. Like so it was motivational, and it's also something just to like work towards doing full time.
And then do you have a least favorite match? A match that you felt like, oh, I could have done better?
I mean, you always want to do better in every match, but no, I wouldn't say so.
No? All right.
No, I wouldn't say so, no.
So now, everything, of course, people say WWE is scripted, but the moves you guys take is real. You guys put your bodies on the line every night. Is there a move that didn't look like it hurt on TV, but to you, you're like, oh, that took the wind out of me. That actually hurt way more than it actually should have.
No, so like the performance center does a great job. The coaches there do a great job of training everyone how to do everything properly, or it's you don't get put on TV. So I didn't have anything where I got like thrown too hard or whatever. But I'll tell you what, those chair shots hurt.
I can
I say
imagine.
the chair shots hurt. Those are just one of those things you got to lay it in there. You can't miss those. But yeah, I'd have to say the chair shots for sure.
We got two more questions. I would say three more. I'm just looking because what do you have a funny moment with another wrestler backstage in NXT
Fun
that was like
moment.
not shown on TV? That was like a
Yeah, so we were at a house show. One of the guys were wrestling, and me and the other guy, we had the match card mixed up for some reason. It was like right after intermission, like a 15-minute break for the crowd to do what they want. And so we're all right, he has two more matches. We were just chilling backstage because we had to be ringside for him. We were backstage, and then all of a sudden we hear his music hit, and we're like, oh crap. And then so we looked at each other like, yo, we gotta go. We sprinted to the curtain, and as he was already like walking out, we like sprinted through the curtain like casually, just like made it look like we were just like waiting, you know. But in actuality, we were just like we were literally sprinting from all the way across the hall to make it, and I thought that was pretty funny.
I don't know if you know the wrestler Brian Myers from, you know, it's Curt Hawkins in WWE. He was doing a show in my local area, and I was in the press area, and I see him coming down. He was working at Impact at the time, and he's coming down the ramp, and I'm sitting like in the press area, and next to me there was a girl, and I see Brian Myers waving, and I'm not paying attention to the girl. I'm like, oh, he's saying hi to me, like, and I'm waving, and then he blows a kiss, and I'm like, that's weird, and then I'm like, I really look, I was like, oh, that's his wife, and this.
Oh, wow.
And then I after the show I got to spoke to him. He's like, that's hilarious that
Yeah.
you
You thought he was blowing you a kiss.
yeah. And I told his wife after too, and she's like, that's, you have to tell him. She's the one who introduced me to him after that show.
Oh,
That was a funny moment. And then every
that's
time I
funny.
see him now, he goes up to me, he's like,
Yeah. Catch it, save it for later.
yeah, right. WWE's you guys get your own theme songs. Do you think you do you have a song that you wish you could have picked, or were you satisfied with your own theme song?
So when I was pitching theme songs, I kind of wanted something that was like hard to come out to, like a hard rock song, a hard like good bass or something like that. So I liked Finn Balor's, I don't know what it was called, with like the violins and stuff.
Yes. I know
I
what
liked
that is.
stuff. I enjoyed that one. So I was like sending in like Linkin Park
Oh,
and
okay.
like the a little bit of Slipknot and like the Devil Wears Prada. Just to like have that hard bass and stuff like that. But if I were to have a walkout song, I'd probably do like What I've Done by Linkin Park.
Okay.
But yeah,
I
that'd be the
remember
one.
the song I did. So Curt Hawkins has his gym, Brian Myers, created for wrestling, and he was like, and then I was doing a little work for him, and he's like, try to make an entrance, pick a song. And he was in the ring, and I was like, what's one song that like doesn't fit like a wrestler? And I did the song Discovery Channel. They're like, are we gonna do it like we do on the Discovery Channel? And me just
Oh,
and then
wow.
I coming up, I'm doing motions like that. He's at the ring laughing, like wasn't expecting it at all. So that was another moment. So I was like, am I gonna make fun of him? I'm just gonna pick a song that doesn't like you won't expect a wrestler to come out to.
That's
So
funny. That's funny.
that was a great one. So we got him off guard. And then the last question is, what is next? Like we said, August 13th, which is today, you are now a free agent. You do bookings. Is there any place you have in mind, like TNA, Impact, AEW, AAA, MZW, New Japan?
To be honest, I'm interested in all those places. You know, I really want to wrestle ev everywhere, wherever the I want to be able to see the world and meet new people and the new styles everyone has and stuff like that. So I would like to wrestle anywhere. But one place that really kind of stands out just because like I'm a fan of the UFC and like my background and stuff like that. I have Bloodsport. Like something like that would be pretty tough. I think that'll fit me really well just because it's the background I have and actually be able to like get in there and someone be rough with me and I'd be rough with them and then it's like we just make art out of it. But yeah, so those I'm open to all those opportunities. I got me and my boy Ethan Carl, so a lot of people don't know. Before I signed with WWE, I was doing a little bit of country music. I'm a huge country music fan.
You look like a person that would be, I don't know, because of the hair or the beard or the way you dress. You look like a person that would like country music, which is nothing wrong because I'm a big fan of country music as well.
Yeah, so I love country music. So next week, me and my boy, we're getting together. We're gonna record our first song together. We've been talking about doing it for like 5 years, but just never got around to doing it. So now we're gonna really get into that and see what happens with it. We both love country music. Yeah, so we're gonna see what happens. Hopefully, you see me on the big screen or doing something fun, singing country music. But that's been a passion of mine, country music, and just being entertaining and stuff like that.
Well, you let me know when it ever releases. I'll be the first one to download and listen it, and I will put it on my story. Be like Bobby Stevens. Wait, is it gonna be? Are you gonna keep that name as an artist? Or are you gonna, yeah.
I'll keep my actual name.
And
I'll keep
then.
that.
But all right, Bobby, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to be part of this. You want to shout out all your social medias where people can find you and all that fun jazz. Go right ahead.
Yeah, so Instagram, you find me at Bobby Steveson. Same thing with Twitter, and same thing with TikTok. If you want to see me cook or do some food reviews or anything fun like that, I also got a YouTube channel that I'm just now starting up. So I'm posting some fun stuff on that. So everything will be under Bobby Steve. So I'm not doing any fancy names or any little gimmicks, stuff like that. So if you're interested in getting to know what you don't see on the big screen, give me a follow.
Guys, get it. He's a generally nice person. I interviewed a lot of people, but you and Willow Nightingale, the two people I actually chuckled and laughed during the interviews. I had such
Oh,
a fun,
yeah.
I just had such a fun time interviewing you today. Thank you so much once again. And yeah, hopefully we see you on another wrestling show, or even on YouTube, or even on
I appreciate
Spotify.
it. I appreciate it, man.
All
Thanks so
right.
much.
No problem. Have a nice day.
See ya.
Thank you.